Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. I thought we'd take a few minutes to have a little informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific mayoral election poll. We've been interviewing all the New York City mayoral hopefuls all year on the program. If you listen often, you've probably heard the major candidates at least twice apiece, except once for Wiener, as I said before the news, since he just got in. And we talked earlier today with UFT President Michael Mulgrew about their endorsement of Bill Thompson, which is considered big. So let's hear from you. We're getting close enough to the election now. I didn't want to do this earlier in the year because you didn't really have enough information, most people. Now it's getting a little more intense on the campaign trail. There have been a bunch of mayoral forums. I've moderated a few, so I've brought back a lot of clips to play. As I say, we've had the candidates on. Now I think we're starting to get close enough to September 10th to have kind of a first pass of your impressions of the mayoral candidates and who you're leaning toward. And this could be in the Democratic field or the Republican field. We've had them all on, and we've been covering both races. And the Democrats, obviously, more competitive with at least five serious candidates in that race. But are you decided on someone? Are you leaning towards someone but undecided? You can talk about your ambivalence, or are you completely undecided? You can ask a question. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And joining me in the studio to help take your calls are our two intrepid mayoral race reporters, Anna Sale and Bridget Bergen. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Bridget.
Good morning.
And I'm going to jump right in and take our first call, and it's going to be Robert in Manhattan Valley. Hey, Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, Brian. I'm going to vote in the primary, the first one, for Bill de Blasio. I think he's articulate, like his ideas, agree with him about that it's not right to displace public school seats and geography, as it were, for charter schools. And just like, you know, he has a real family living in Park Slope. So he's my first choice. But I do want to say this. I have gone to a couple of the forums, followed closely. I'm amazed at how articulate and how much I like all of the candidates in the Democratic side, with the exception of the pastor, whose name I forget.
Eric Salgado.
And on the Republican side, very impressed with McDonald and Loda.
Uh-huh. The
only thing I want to say is I'm disappointed in Chris for those support of Bloomberg stuff, particularly on zoning, like your last topic in the first hour.
All right, Robert, I'm going to leave it there and get some other voices on. Robert, a generally satisfied customer with New York politicians right now.
And I thought it was interesting. He said in the first vote he's going to go with Bill de Blasio because, of course, we may have a runoff if no candidate gets 40% when the top two finishers would be in a runoff.
Right. Now, as we just heard on the news with Richard, de Blasio made news in the New York One debate last night by starting to get more rough and tumble than most of these candidates have gotten before. In particular, he decided it was in his interest to go after Christine Quinn. Let's replay that clip.
Allow me to paraphrase Michael Corleone and say, Speaker Quinn, don't insult our intelligence. Ray Kelly is not going to make that change.
Having to do with her position that she would like Ray Kelly to stay on as police commissioner, but she's going to rein in stop and frisk, to which she replied,
let me be clear. If Ray Kelly's going to be my police commissioner, like any other commissioner who works for me, they will follow my orders or they won't work for me.
Bridget?
So I might frame it just a little bit differently and say I think Quinn actually made the news because, you know, if you've been to any of these forums, she's been saying since January she would bring back or at least offer Police Commissioner Ray Kelly a position with her administration. And what she did last night was she said she would offer him that position only if he committed to bringing down stop and frisk. Mm. And that if he would not commit to that or if he took the position and didn't do it, that she would fire him. And that was something that sort of it caught the attention of a lot of different people. And de Blasio came back at her and just said, you know, I can't believe you think Ray Kelly is the guy to do that. And, you know, so then she again went back and you know, it was their exchanges. This was one of multiple exchanges between the two of them yesterday, really sort of overshadowed the other candidates at the debate.
Does it mean that as a matter of strategy, de Blasio thinks he's got the most votes to get into his camp from people who are deciding between him and Quinn?
You know, I think it's a good question, and I'm interested to hear what the rest of our callers have to say. I think the goal last night, since this was Anthony Weiner's first televised debate, was to keep the attention away from him. And I think their sparring successfully did that.
Here's an undecided caller, Zach in Manhattan. Weighing two candidates, Zach?
Yeah, I'm actually, you know, I'm lived in Quinn's district, so up until Weiner jumped in, I was pretty much set on voting for Quinn. But, you know, I was a big fan of Weiner before we all know what happened 2 years ago. And, you know, I'm a sucker for second chances, so I want to see if the guy can prove himself. And part of me feels that, you know, he has more, you know, in his heart to do well for the city because he knows he has so much more to prove. But given that, you know, I'm still, you know, I would say I'm leaning towards Quinn. I was pretty impressed with her performance last night. And I just think she's probably the most grounded candidate right now. But obviously it's so early on and there's, you know, more to play out, but we'll see. But I'm definitely leaning towards Quinn, but I would definitely give Weiner, you know, a look depending on how he plays the summer out.
Zach, thank you very much. Meryl in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Meryl.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm calling to say that I'm supporting John Liu. I'm an African-American woman. I have a black son who's been stopped and frisked for no reason except that he's black. And I am outraged that any of these candidates still support that whole, you know, the frisk. I mean, from Bill Thompson to Christine Quinn, I'm sick of all of them. And John Liu is the only one who wants to get rid of the entire program. And so I'm voting for him.
Meryl, thank you. Anna, let's talk about the John Liu factor for a minute. As I've seen when I've moderated mayoral debates, he has the most vocal supporters who turn out in person. He's been running as probably the most angry progressive and taking the positions most clearly to the left of the pack. He is trying to be the minority candidate in the race. Obviously, Bill Thompson is another minority candidate in the race. But I'm not surprised that we get an African-American woman calling up for John Liu. He's really trying to, you know, to appeal to that poor people populist base. And he's got passion out there. He's only at 8% in the polls, but I don't know what that means. And yet, of course, he's also got this scandal with his campaign treasurer and fundraiser hanging over him. So how do you see the John Liu factor?
I think you're right. I mean, when you see John Liu out campaigning, there is an energy from his supporters that no other candidates I've seen on the trail. I mean, people with tears in their eyes, Asian Americans with tears in their eyes seeing him. And then also this, you know, activist left is very fired up about issues like stop and frisk, and they are there with him. And John Liu stays at every event half an hour past every other candidate leaving. He is a tireless campaigner. But as you say, he's fifth in the polls of those top five Democrats in the Democratic primary. He will say that the polls are not adequately counting Asian American voters. But I think the question in a Democratic primary is who's fired up enough to turn out? And if he has this core of supporters who are the most angry about Mayor Bloomberg's legacy, the most looking for a very stark alternative, you know, that could be a factor. But again, 8%, you know, Christine Quinn's at 24% in the last poll from Marist. So that's quite a, you know, Bill de Blasio at 12%, Bill Thompson 11%, all this could change. But John Liu certainly has that core support.
You know, there are about, 6-1 registered Democrats to Republicans in New York City. And that's about the ratio on our caller board right now, about 6-1 calling in to say one candidate or another on the Democratic side. However, we do have Brian in Woodlawn. Brian, you're on WNYC. Registered Republican?
I am, yes.
And so you're going to vote in that primary?
I certainly will, yes. And I think I'm glad that you guys aren't saying at least that the Democratic primary is indicative of who the next mayor is going to be, because I think New Yorkers over the last 20 years, Democratic New Yorkers, independent New Yorkers, have shown that they can actually pull a lever for someone other than their own party.
It would be pretty foolish to say the primary is the election after we haven't elected a Democratic mayor in 24 years, yes?
Exactly. So I hope that that trend continues and they take a fair look at the man I think should be the next mayor. He's the guy that's got the most experience in the mayoral office with a seat on the ground with mayoral issues, and that's Joe Loda. And I think if they had forgotten that legacy and the great city we have today as a result of those 8 years, to look at the stunning job he did in barely a year at the MTA. I mean, people took a second look at him and said, boy, this guy's really done it. So
what
I
think
Joe Loda needs a serious look.
What do you think of John Catsimatidis, the main alternative in the Republican primary? Do you think also interesting to you as a billionaire businessman who's built not only the Gristides chain but also other kinds of businesses in the oil industry and so forth? Interesting, you know, down-home guy, or do you cringe and you think, oh, my God, this guy just does not sound like he's competent to run the city, as some people react to him?
Well, I've heard that, and I know John. I like John. I don't think a billionaire, self-made man is enough of a story anymore. I think, you know, if it comes down to it, I think Joe's just got that experience that I think this city needs. I mean, we'd rather not have to hit the ground running with someone that has to come up to speed on a lot of things. I think Joe brings that to the table where he can start day one and not have to be briefed on what each agency does. Again, I admire John for what he's accomplished in his life, but I don't think that's enough of a skill set going forward.
Brian, thank you so much for your call. Call us again. Desmond in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Desmond.
Good morning. I'm calling to say that I'm backing Bill Thompson. I had backed Bill Thompson in the last election, and basically because of his experience with education and his backing of the educational infrastructure. I think that our present mayor set up an infrastructure with education that was based on economics and not on education. He took educational leaders out of the mix, and the very poor example of that was his appointment of Kathy Black. And the gentleman who was his chancellor.
Right, but he's not running against Mike Bloomberg now. He's running against Christine Quinn and John Liu and Anthony Weiner.
He's running against the establishment of what has been done. And I also go against your statement that you felt that stop and frisk was something to do with lower socioeconomic. I'm middle class, or what's left of it. And stop and frisk is a very powerful thing among black and brown people. It affects us regardless of our demographics, of our economic background.
The woman who called in a few minutes ago and identified herself as an African-American woman and said she's for John Liu.
I heard that.
And partly because he would end stop and frisk, not just fix it. Have you considered John Liu as more aggressive alternative than...
And spoken at my community board, and if there were a first to the finish, and Bill Thompson wasn't available, I would probably support him. But the other point of that is, I live in a community that is undergoing gentrification, but at the same time, I've been very active in my civic things, mm-hmm. and we've had a very hard time getting adequate policing. We've had a hard time getting city funds to be applied properly, funds that were being allocated by city councilmen to do things like put up Argus cameras were being held in lieu by the police department, and were just recently, after 4 years' time, released.
Thank you.
I went and spoke to the city council persons before I raised this issue with Commissioner Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I fought to get community policing. And I tracked him over a period of years from 2007, the end of 2007.
Desmond, how about for you, and then I got to run on to some other calls. How about for you the issue of effective policing? Because as maybe you've heard me say before, when I moderated the first debate that I did with the Community Service Society, the think tank that represents poor people in New York, and they did a citywide poll, a scientific survey of people making in the lower third of incomes in New mm-hmm. York. And they found that the number one issue was jobs with upward mobility.
That's
the number
right.
two issue was safety on the streets. And stop and frisk as a concern was way, way down, though it was more for black people than for other groups. Do you get concerned when you work against stop and frisk that you're going to make the streets more unsafe?
No, because I'm an advocate for community policing, whereas you would be placing officers back on the street and they would know the people in the community and then there would be a dialogue within the people in the community and the police department.
So it could be more effective.
That would definitely be more effective. And stop and frisk basically is a violation of Fourth Amendment rights.
Desmond, I'm going to go. Thank you very much. Please call us again. And Reba in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Reba.
Yes, I'm a supporter of Christine Quinn. Her position as Speaker of the City Council shows that she has the most relevant experience, and she's shown the necessary toughness to be mayor. Also, after generations of men messing up the city, it's time for a good, qualified woman to be mayor of New York. And I wouldn't support Christine Quinn just because she's a woman, but she's highly qualified. I think all the candidates are good people, but she's head and shoulders above the rest. Also, I'm deeply offended and angered regarding all those vicious ads that are running against her, and I wonder if those ads would be there if she wasn't a woman.
Reba, thank you very much. Okay, Bridget, Anna, who's behind the Stop Christine Quinn movement? I see them on Twitter. I see them all over the place. It's as if she was Dick Cheney to some people in terms of how she's being portrayed in some progressive circles. Where did that come from?
Well, there's a lot of animosity towards Christine Quinn resulting from Bloomberg's third term and her support of the third term. And it also is a coalition of people who oppose horse carriages in Central Park. So these people have gotten together and they're running these ads. And she does have this visible, passionate opposition in a way that other candidates don't. You see those in those ads.
Yeah, and that group is a sort of an interesting group because it does have the horse carriage contingent. But then there's some other, wealthy business people and folks from Chelsea and people who have other reasons why they might be opposed to Quinn's candidacy that are, fronting the organization and putting the money forward so that they can pay for these ads.
We're out of time for callers, and obviously, listeners, we're going to hear from a lot more of you, and we'll take calls from particular communities, and we'll do all kinds of things between now and Election Day. But everybody talks about stop and frisk. Bridget, do you think that has emerged as the biggest single issue in this primary campaign, at least?
I think it's the issue you hear most consistently at every single forum. Whether that is how people actually make their decision, I think that depends on if you're a single issue voter. I think there are some people who, when you talk to them, and particularly when you talk to them about why they support a candidate like John Liu, who's taken the most distinct position saying that he would call for an all-out ban, oftentimes the reason they say they support him is because of his position on stop and frisk. If you then compare that to the poll numbers, it doesn't seem like that single issue is driving enough support for him. But it's certainly, I have not been to a mayoral forum where that question is not asked.
Anything to add, Anna?
I would just say it's one of the few issues where there are clear distinctions between the candidates in the Democratic field. On other issues, there's fewer, intricacies to get into. I mean, we've had bills in city council that the candidates have taken different positions on. We have this range of the spectrum of how people say they want to reform stop and frisk. So I think that's a primary reason why it keeps coming up as a way to talk about these candidates.
By the way, Christopher on our comments page writes, "I haven't made up my mind because I live in Hoboken." So, yes, New Jersey, we will do a similar call-in in a few days after they've had a few more days to actually be out on the trail regarding the candidates in the New Jersey Senate race. WNYC political reporters Bridget Bergen and Anna Sale, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And coming up next, Alvaro Vargas Llosa on the immigration bill that may live or die in the Senate by tomorrow, and his new book about immigration, and even the question, because I think he goes this far, should immigration be seen as a human right? Stay with us.